the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It's the fourth Sunday after Easter. It's always Good Shepherd Sunday. And it's a Sunday where we always have some portion of the Good Shepherd discourses from the Gospel of St. John. Jesus identifies himself in many ways in the Gospel of John. He says, I am the way. He says, I am the door. But he says, I am the good shepherd. And he contrasts himself with the bad shepherd. He contrasts himself with the hireling. The hireling whose own the sheep are not. And when the wolf comes, the hireling flees. But I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd does not flee. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, I'm going to ask you to use your imagination a little bit because I want you to imagine something. For many years, I've been associated with a way of doing religious education with children called Godly Play. It's based on the work of Maria Montessori. And you know that the aim of Montessori education is that children should know things, but they should know them more than information. They should know them at a very deep level. They should enter into them in an act of deep concentration. One of Montessori's great discoveries was that children, well, look, all of us, right? But especially when we're little, that learn through our senses, right? Learn through our senses. I learned the multiplication table by memorization, right? I've got a very shaky grasp on it. Children that have learned the multiplication table in the Montessori schools they have little blocks that they manipulate and they understand the relationships between the numbers in their fingers, right? They're a little bit more dependable than I am. So you want to ask them instead of me if you've got a multiplication problem, right? So one of the things that is done is that, materials are made that allow the children to enter into a deep concentration, deep contemplation of the story the Bible tells, the story of Jesus Christ. And at the heart of that way, at the heart of that curriculum, are the parables of Jesus. And the number one parable, the first parable that is told, and the parable that is told over and over and over again, is the parable of the Good Shepherd. Now, the materials, for the parables are two-dimensional because, well, you know, it's a parable, right? And so there's green grass, there's still water, there's a sheepfold. There are these black rocks that are the dark and dangerous places. There's the good shepherd, there's the hireling, and there's the wolf. Let me tell the story. I am the good shepherd. Once there was someone who did such amazing things and said such amazing things that people said, who are you? And he said many things, but he said, I am the good shepherd. And the figures are introduced. First the grass, the water, the dark and dangerous places, then the sheepfold, then the sheep. I wonder how many there are. I wonder what colors they are. Then the good shepherd, then the hireling, and then the wolf. Now the purpose of the parable is to help the children discover who the good shepherd really is. And they'll ask questions as these figures are presented. When the hireling is presented, when the good shepherd is presented, they'll ask questions. My experience when the figure of the wolf is presented is silent recognition. They know who the wolf is. Sophisticated adults want to pretend there is no wolf. Children know better. And so then the story proceeds. There's the good shepherd. He calls each one of his sheep by name. He leads them in and out. They follow him. He shows them where the good water is. He shows them where the green grass is. He leads them through the dark and dangerous places. This is the hireling. The sheep do not belong to him. And when the wolf comes, then the wolf comes. The hireling runs away. So he goes away. And the wolf comes on to the scene, and all the sheep get scattered. One is threatened. Looks like the wolf is going to eat him. The others go and hide, and some of them go and hide under the rocks in those dark and dangerous places. Ever known that to happen? The good shepherd does not run away. He's not the hireling. He's the good shepherd. He does not run away. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, the figures are two-dimensional, and the character is depicted on one side, and the backside is blank. So there's the wolf. The figure of the good shepherd is laid down across the wolf in the sign of the cross. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And the figure of the good shepherd is turned over, so then you see the blank side. But after 3 days, God raises him up. And now we see the face of the good shepherd again. And the wolf is defeated and removed. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. I call to them, and they hear my voice, and they follow me. And then the good shepherd proceeds to go find all the sheep, put them on his shoulders, bring them back to the sheepfold, stand in the doorway of the sheepfold, and then the good shepherd says, I have other sheep that are not of this fold, but I must go and find them, and then there will be one flock and one shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I know each one of my sheep by name. I call to them, they hear my voice, and they follow me. In the 34th chapter of the book of the prophet Ezekiel, God gives the prophet Ezekiel a word of prophecy against the false shepherd kings of Israel. They're supposed to be good shepherds. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. They're leading the people not in the way of life, the 10 words of life that God gave them at Mount Sinai, the Torah, the way, not in the way of life. They're not leading them in the way that leads to life. They're leading them in a way that leads to death. And God has the prophet say, woe to you false shepherds. And then God sees that his people are harried and dispersed. And we have this, we can hear it, can't we? Set to the music by Handel, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've gone each one to our own way. Right? And God sees the desperate situation of his people. And he makes this amazing promise. One day, I myself will come, and I will be the good shepherd of my people. Now we go to the scene in the gospel. It's winter time. It's the Feast of Dedication. You know that holiday. You know that feast, the Feast of Dedication. That's Hanukkah. It's the feast that celebrates the reconsecration of the temple after it was desecrated by the Greeks. They had conquered Jerusalem. They had gone into the temple, and they'd set up a statue of Zeus on the high altar in the temple. And the Maccabees were victorious. They restored the temple. The temple is being reconsecrated, and the people are being reconsecrated as God's people. Now here is one who is greater than the temple, who has come to build a living temple. Here is the one who is the good shepherd, the fulfillment of God's promise that he would come himself and be the shepherd of his people, and he has come to reconsecrate the people. And his enemies say, tell us plainly, are you the one? And Jesus is very careful, because he is the one. He is the good shepherd who has come to gather up the lost sheep, to restore and reconsecrate the people, to give them food, drink, lead them through the dangerous places, and bring them home at last. But not in the way that's expected. That's why he has to be careful. Not in the way that's expected. Because they expect this to happen by force of arms. And it's not going to happen by force of arms. It's going to happen by disarmed and disarming love. It's not going to happen by force of arms. is going to happen by disarmed and disarming love. It's not going to happen by force of arms, but it's going to happen by arms stretched out on the hardwood of the cross so that the whole world can come within the reach of his saving embrace. You're not getting it, he says to them. You're not getting it because you are not believing the signs. The Gospel of John is a book of signs, and it's sign after sign after sign that points, he's doing the things that the promised good shepherd, God has promised, will do. You're not believing the signs. You're not getting it. You're not believing the signs. You're not getting it because you've not opened your ears to my voice. Now, this is the same voice that calls to us. We hear it in the words of the scripture. We hear it in the testimony of the apostles and the saints. You're not opening your ears. You're not listening to me. You're not opening your ears. You're not opening your hearts. You're not beginning to walk with me. My sheep who hear my voice, and they're beginning to follow me, and they're beginning to walk with me, they're beginning to know me. I know them, they're beginning to know me. And what is this knowing like? It's not information. It's a deeply felt knowing. It's the kind of knowledge that true friends have of each other. The kind of knowledge that a husband and a wife have of each other. I know my sheep. My sheep know me. It's the knowledge that comes from a living relationship. Everything the Father has, he's given me. He's given me everything, Jesus says. But the most precious thing that he's given me is these who have opened their ears to me, who have opened their hearts to me, who are following me and walking with me. And I have a grip on them which cannot be broken. I have the same grip on them that the Father has on me. St. Irenaeus says that the Son and the Spirit are the two hands of the Father by which he grasps us and saves us. I am the good shepherd, I know each one of my sheep. I call them, they hear my voice. And they follow me. And I have other sheep also that are not of this fold. And I must bring them also. And there will be indeed one flock and one shepherd. So through all the length of days thy goodness faileth never. Good shepherd, may I sing thy praise within thy house forever. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.